Training Self-Discipline, A Parent's Gift to Their Children. Training Self-Discipline, A Parent's Gift to Their Children. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Training Self-Discipline, A Parent's Gift to Their Children. How many parents have the strength to give the gift of self-discipline to their children? It's so much easier just to say, go do what you want to do. It's okay, you frustrate me. Go do as you like. I will not have any more to do with you. If you are not going to listen to what I ask you to do, if you're not going to self-discipline yourself to make sure that you do the things that are right and good for you to do, I have no more time for you. This is what we do all too often. We do this all too often in all of our life. If we are a self-disciplined person that we would like to have the world be, then we will find that the world is self-disciplined. If we are in charge of our own self, if we are in charge of our own life, of our own thoughts, of our own activities, we'll find that all the world around us are in charge of their activities, their thoughts, and their life. It's as simple as that and as true as that. For we see in the world exactly who we are. I share on campus here the philosophy of the University of Healing and the positive thinking and unconditional love. And part of what I share is to share the opportunity for each student, each person that I meet, to learn self-discipline for themselves, to direct their own lives in ways that they think are valuable and beneficial to them. And I say, you have to determine what your program is. You have to be yourself and have fun. And now this is gets a lot of people in trouble, including me. Be yourself and have fun. When I say, be yourself and have fun, I am not saying you are to ignore the rules and regulations of the society in which you live. I am not saying that you are to ignore your parents, that you are to ignore your peers, you are to ignore what makes up the society in which you live. No. I'm saying those are things that you learn through self-discipline to work with. If the society says you drive at a certain speed limit, then you drive at that speed limit. Now, very few people drive at the speed limit that they're supposed to drive. Some drive less, some drive more, and very few people drive at the limit. Now, why is it that we don't? Basically, because we have never learned self-discipline. We've never learned the good, wonderful feeling that it is to follow the rules, to be harmonious with the program that we are in. If we're in a society that says you must respect your mother and your father, and we don't respect our mother and father, the society we're in is not going to respect us. We're not going to find it an easy way to get along in life because we're contrary to the program which we have agreed to follow by our being here. Now you see, well, not everyone has agreed to follow. They're born here. They had no other opportunity. Oh, yes, they did. Before birth, we choose where we're going to be and what we're going to do. So once we are born in that philosophy and that psychology and that program, then it's not a matter that we, without regard, follow the rules. It's that we follow the rules of those people whom we respect and love. Presumably, it's our parents. Presumably, it's our teachers, our peers, the people that we're living with, our neighbors and friends. And when we go against those rules, we find that everything is inharmonious for us. If our neighborhood is a lovely neighborhood and people mow their lawns and rake their lawns and pick up the leaves and have a lovely garden and seek to make it as beautiful as possible, and we don't, we are ostracized. It's not that we are being bad in violating the rule. It's we're being inharmonious to ourself by not following the program. If we want to have a harmonious life, then we want to live in a self-disciplined, harmonious life with the world in which we have chosen to be. Now, if the world in which we have chosen to be, we find later, has some things that are not harmonious for us, well, then we get into the law, we get into government, we get into conditions where we can change those things. Now, if a family in the Jones house teach their children to save their money and to spend it wisely and to enjoy life with responsibility without getting a lot of credit and having a lot of responsibility that they don't have to have, and in the Barnes family, which is next door, they teach their children that they can spend the opulence of the universe because all is theirs, and just go and spend, regardless whether you have it or not, just go and spend. Just go out and take credit cards and run them to the max and do all these things. Well, now, both families live harmonious with themselves. But one family lives under a strain of obligation, and another family lives under the blessing of harmony and peace, the blessing of working cooperatively and gently together. Would you say that one family was experiencing unconditional love, working harmoniously with the programs of society and themselves? Would you say the other family was working out of harmony with themselves and their society? Well, it's obvious what we can see. How do you train yourself to work with life? Do you train self-discipline yourself to recognize that all of the principles, all of the laws, and all of the programs that you have come to learn are sort of not immutable, but always there? Have you trained yourself to look at those principles that are seemingly always there and work harmoniously with them? Have you found any principle that says this is immutable and it cannot be changed and you must follow it, and if you don't follow it, you'll pay the consequences? Well, one of them might be gravity. That's certainly a very obvious principle, isn't it? Something that we don't fight at all. We just use. Gravity helps us to walk on Earth and stand upright and to do all these things. But now, you get into an anti-gravity machine or a gravity machine that has no gravity, and they have them to train the astronauts for being in outer space where there is no gravity. And as you learn how to handle yourself in a non-gravity situation, you can control yourself not reasonably well, but sufficiently. You have the right tools to handle yourself. Now, for you to say you must have gravity or gravity is necessary for all of life, you're going against what can be a proven fact, that gravity is not necessary. Now, are we going to be master of gravity in our mind, or are we going to be master of it in our actual fact of being in an anti-gravity machine? Or are we going to, what are we going to do? Well, you see, there are no statements that are just categorical saying this is right and that's wrong. All statements have, relative to where they are propounded and where they are lived and where they are thought, that's what we do. Now, we live in a very remarkable universe, a very outstanding universe. And as we teach ourselves to live in this universe, if we operate entirely out of unconditional love, first loving ourselves, being ourselves and having fun, and then loving our creation with all the love and all the joy and all the peace we have in our heart, then we become the most beautiful benefactors of principle. We train self-discipline in ourselves. And as we train self-discipline on ourselves, we find a parent's gift to their children. If a parent can train their children to be self-disciplined, that child, all of their life, will have that tool to work with, to get along in society, get along in the world, get along in the universe, and perhaps go beyond it. But with all things, A foundation is absolutely necessary. Without a foundation, we have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to come from. We have nowhere to depend on something that we can do. Now, Einstein was one who wanted to sort of upset foundations, but he didn't want to upset them so much as to reveal what the real foundations were. And he opened up the doorway to our thinking to real foundations in areas that we would have never dreamed possible. And other scientists who have come along have shown us how light can bend, how light can be moved and twisted. They show us these both what seemingly are immutable points, immutable thoughts. But with love and with gentleness, they said, no, here is my proof that it can be done. And then others come along and say, ha, oh, that's not so, and they want to disprove them. And with Einstein, we say, okay, that's my point of view, that's my understanding, here are my facts, here are my program to prove that it's true to me. Now, if you want to prove it differently, prove that, and I will be delighted to see your response. I will be delighted to see what you have come up with. Self-discipline is not a matter of going around forcing our will upon other people. It's not a matter of going around forcing what we want to have other people believe. It's merely a matter that we discipline ourselves so beautifully that we live what we believe. We live what we teach. We live what we are. And as we live what we are, then all of the world is a beautiful reflection of what we are. Now, if I see others who are not doing what I believe is the most beneficial thing, then I am not seeing myself being the most beneficial being. Can I afford ever to not see everything pure, beautiful, and wonderful? The Master Jesus said, what wouldst thou of me? What do you want from me? I am the Christ. I can only see everything good and beautiful, whole and perfect. If we were to ask the Christ to reveal something imperfect and unwhole, the Christ would be unable to do that. And this Christ Spirit is in each one of us. If we were to ask ourselves to be contrary to principle, contrary to law, contrary to the divine program, we would find that we would not be very happy doing that. And in doing that, we would feel that all the world was upset, all the world was out of balance, all the world was out of order. And indeed, it would be. It would be out of balance, out of order. But we truly can, and we truly do, train ourselves in self-discipline every time we unconditionally love ourselves. We would never want to do anything that would hurt ourselves or another. We never want to do anything that would take from ourselves or from another. And we can never lose anything that we have. If it belongs to us, it can never be lost. We can never get anything that belongs to another. For if it belongs to another, we have no part of it. We live in this fabulous, wonderful, glorious world in which we train ourselves in self-discipline. And, as one person said, it's a kinder, gentler way of doing things. And he was right. Training ourselves in self-discipline, ourselves, is a kinder, gentler way of doing anything. So if you want to learn self-discipline, if you want to be master of yourself, if you want to be master of your life, as I choose to be master of my life, it's a matter of self-discipline. It's a matter of choosing what my values are, choosing what my principles are, choosing what it is that guides my life into the pathway that I choose to go. And once I know what that is, or even have a glimpse of the direction that that goes, and follow it with all my heart, my life is a revealed and fulfilled experience, and I am the happiest man in the world. Have a lovely day, and know that as you live principle, you live in peace, in harmony, in joy, in all that is good. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.